Welcome, everybody, to A Course in Miracles. With A Course in Miracles and the Manual for Teachers in specific, it's not that it's more advanced than the rest of the course. It just has summary statements. It is like a reference book, the Manual for Teachers. It has answers more than teachings, per se. You know, it's a great thing every once in a while to go through just to rehearse the terms, get everybody on the same page. And so that's what we'll be doing for a while. So we're going to go through the Manual for Teachers together and get a nice, dense discussion of these 26 great topics. And then we'll do the clarification terms as well. So where we're going now, this is the one called Who Are God's Teachers? And a teacher of God, you know, A Course in Miracles, teacher, workbook, text, manual. This whole thing is kind of couched and constructed in terms of a class, terms of a college course, because the people through whom it came were teachers. Helen is a teacher in a teaching institution, as well as a psychologist. And so you are a student of Jesus in this material. And so he is using these terms here. And so now he's going to call out for you the teacher of God. And it's nice because it's pretty direct. And the first things you're going to read is that it's anybody who wants to. Anybody who wants to turn away from the essentials of separation and ego can return home. This is really, really good news. It's also, in a way, it's black and white. And sometimes when things are black and white, it can be sound challenging, because it's either you got it or you don't. And if I told you that all you had to do is sit down for 1 year and go through the workbook and just turn a page every day and you would be enlightened by December 31st, you'd like, okay, thank you, I can do that. Your stress would be very low. Maybe impatient, but you'd like, okay, I can turn pages, I can read, I can do that. Thank you. I'm glad that there's a way where I can just follow the steps and be instantly and permanently free.
Right.
You'd also be a victim to A Course in Miracles if that were the case, that somehow you could earn it, force it. No, you are a creator. You are a free extension of God's mind. A creation is creates. There's no control on you. There's no control on you at all. The only thing in your experience that you can run up against is the truth. You can make as many fantasies and falsehoods and go just absolutely wild in that direction. And you can make as many creations and invent new colors and dimensions and anything that you would like as a creator. But it must be based on truth. The only issue we have and why we need to study A Course in Miracles is because we took a diversion from truth as we wandered into separation. That's all. The use of the power is fine. The powers that we used are fine. You can do this again and again if you like. You would just find yourself depriving yourself of love by making separate bodies, but by investing in separation. And that's why Course in Miracles exists, and Jesus it takes a form in your mind and in this book as a bridge to help you go back up the staircase you wandered down, which was away from love, away from oneness, away from capital letters of all types, P peace, joy, freedom. And get this, here's the kicker. Creation. You made a box, you crawled in it, and you closed the lid behind you. Do you hear me? So you've blocked yourself from love and from creation. You've made a box, you crawled in it, and closed the lid behind you. So that's we're here to open the lid, crawl out of the box, you look back on it and say, oh, the real world. It's a box I made that I crawled in and closed the lid behind me. So, manual for teachers. A nice quick trip for us to see all the tools and levers of A Course in Miracles. Who are the teachers of God? The big message that this thing starts out with is, anybody who chooses to see somebody else as equivalent to themselves, somebody else's interest is equal to your own. The voluntary opening of your mind that is selfless for just even a moment, and your heart lights up. Your mind also, but it goes beyond your brain, beyond your mind, and your heart lights up. And it's suddenly more interesting because it's something we can call the heart. The undefined love or heart, but you know it. And it tends to make things the most important things that you've ever experienced and that you have in your life are things you can say touched your heart. The most beautiful things, the most sincere things, anything involving real love, you have to just complain about not having the right words and settle for love. We call that the heart. What is the heart? Center of being. Not the center of doing, not the center of thinking, but the center of being. And in your meditation, when you let the world drop away and you let your future drop away and let your past drop away, you are left with this mysterious being. This is the first gift of God, is being. So, the heart was, had to be closed because love and God with capital letters, these are shared things that occur in awareness. True love, true sharing, creation. You have to be aware of the principles of the truth of God to actually create. Otherwise, if you deny any of the attributes of capital L-O-V-E or capital G-O-D, if you deny any of those attributes, then you're denying your source, you're denying the truth, and then you must be making something, or you must be playing with now. We've moved away from being, we've moved through spirit into mind, and mind moves further into individuation, and that has to make a brain so it can hold all these thoughts that are no longer joined. And now the brain and the body holds the brain, and then the brain uses the body to observe the world, and the world reflects back what the brain is thinking. You got a nice little prison. Safe away from love. Love is a shortcut word. A shortcut word for the truth. And for things that are beyond our curriculum, because you don't actually need to learn love. Love is all the time, and you have closed your eyes. You have made a box, you've crawled in it, and then you close the lid of the box you made behind you, and you find yourself now in a body. So as a teacher of God and not a teacher of the ego, you're now going to make a priority to follow things of truth or of light. Your heart, which you have abandoned in order to become separate, your heart has been substituted with a lowercase heart and a lowercase love and a lowercase everything else that was informed by the ego, and probably why you got yourself in trouble in this world. If you've ever been very sad in this world, your heart got broken. It was not a capital H heart. It did not naturally, could not see with vision. That doesn't get broken. But when you see with your eyeballs, you see differences, and there's life and death. And the death actually takes away the life in this world. That's impossible. Life does not end. Who said that? Ego. So to be a teacher of God, you start to reconcile these kind of things. You can reconcile, why does bad things happen to good people? You ever asked yourself that? Maybe some of your friends and family who say, oh, you study the spiritual stuff, huh? You believe in God, do you? Well, how about this? Why do bad things happen to good people? Tell me that. Tell me where is your God with these kids who got shot up in the school, they'll say. This all must be reconciled in your journey to taking your identity as a son of God rather than a son of human. These are hard questions for an ego who is coming from fear and looking for a loving God to answer. These are not hard questions for love to answer. Coming from oneness, these are easy questions to answer. It would take a miracle for you to switch from being that separate body in time and space to getting the perspective of what we call the Holy Spirit or Christ's vision. That's exactly what we're doing. So just reminding you what you're doing and where you're going and how you'll know you've arrived. Okay. So with that introduction, congratulations on studying A Course in Miracles. I don't know of anything else that can take you on that journey. I know lots of books that will give you pieces. Jacqueline.
Well, I have a question, and I know this, you know, in the nitty-gritty of being a Course in Miracles student, this is kind of far out there, but I had a sense of, and something you were saying, is this saying that once we we become one, we're just one with God, that there is no mind, we're only spirit? Because it says we're an idea in the mind of God. So I keep hearing about mind. So I've been thinking that mind and spirit is what we are. But maybe mind disappears? Is that what you... It sounded like it was kind of down the levels, right? And if you gave that just to spirit, then there wouldn't be mind.
Yes, but there is a progression in this level confusion that's tying you up. And it's good questions to ask, and you have enough information to answer all of them, but you know, you have to sort out what you've been taught to apply it to that kind of thinking, which is beyond the body. So that's really high level stuff, Jacqueline, but it's available to you. And I laid it out once in a little special teaching email I sent out that went a little beyond our curriculum normally. But I found it really helpful, so I thought I could pass it out to you guys too. So what are you really? What are you really? And that's helpful for tonight too, Jacqueline, because when we talk about teacher of God, we're not talking about being a good human. We're not talking about being a saint like Mother Teresa, where you do all kind things all the time and never a foul word or thought crosses your mind, at least that anybody can hear. That's a saint. It's more like a sage, where you're fallible, but you only believe in the truth. You believe in the truth. You are going to demonstrate the truth, because people will know that your belief and your dedication is back toward oneness and away from anger, hatred, attack, loss, identifying with the body even. They'll know that this is your truth. They still may see you slip, but they'll say, yeah, but this person studies a truth that is so loving and inclusive. I can't believe it. They can explain away these murders in the kindergarten. You know, it in a peaceful way, without disregarding what happened, not in denial.
Please excuse me. Mother Teresa did not die without regrets about her own sinlessness. She knew that she had things that she needed to do yet. And she had a wonderful experience, if you will. And it never happened again. And she was forlorn that it never happened again.
What Tip's talking about, perhaps, is there was a letter found after she died. You all familiar with that?
I think you told us about it once.
Yeah, she kind of wrote a note to God, and you know, she says, my heart was always warmed and moved, and I felt it was a very high calling that I had my entire life, going and helping people, you know, in all these poor countries and bringing peace wherever I could. People really responded well, but I myself feel like I was left out in the cold. She's like, I did not feel like I personally have arrived or that I was helped, but I really enjoyed helping. I don't regret a day of it. So, you know, it's like, whoa, okay. So yeah. I want to remind you that A Course in Miracles tells us that a miracle is not enough. It also says it in this way. This is a quote. Readiness is not mastery. The journey we're on is very personal, and it will not be done to you. It will not be done for you. It will not be done to you. And it was not done to Mother Teresa either. She had an outward journey she made a life of that was really beautiful, but she apparently did not make the inward journey of choosing peace and actually having a transcendence of her own. This you shall do. This you shall do. If you want it bad enough, they say, like a person who's drowning wants air, or a person whose hair is on fire, how quickly they run straight for the water, put their head in it. You know, it has to be that clear. But here's the kicker. What you're going to do is not a doing. It's an undoing. This is why this book is written in with such authority, saying, no, you can do this. Because it's not some height you have to jump. It's not some river you have to swim through. It's not some Upanishad you have to memorize and then become famous for or write a book. No. You're undoing. This is the truly good news. But you're so addicted to doing an ego. You're so addicted to playing the ego character that for you to stop that, even for a moment, is a sincere challenge. But hey, how hard is it really to not do something? Got to ask yourself this question. And like it said on page, was it 441? We just read it the other day. I know. You know what? We're doing the manual for teachers, so maybe we should. And also, nobody here is a beginner, so I should call you out. I should call you out because I'm here with you. I'm here for you, and I want your hard questions, of course. So everybody, turn back to what we read the other night. Turn to page 473 in the text. 473 in the text. And look at some of this fine print that A Course in Miracles throws out along the way. It's like, whoa. I mean, this seems a little drastic. 473, top of the page. Do you see that? Where it says, the very top of the page, it says, this course will be believed entirely. Or not at all?
I am a beginner.
Good beginner's mind. This course will be believed entirely or not at all, for it's wholly true or wholly false and cannot be but partially believed. And you will either escape from misery entirely or not at all. Doesn't that explain a lot? I know, I loved reading that. I thought, because it's so consistent with all the rest of the book. Look at the next sentence. Reason will tell you that there's no middle ground. This is a gift of black and white. And you think about all the places in the book where you're helped by the words in this book, it means you can do it. It also means that there's a real coin here with two sides and there's nothing in between. There's two sides and there's nothing in between. There's misery and there's no misery. And that's good. Because if you're still feeling misery for you or for somebody else, then you need to ask for help. You need to stop trying whatever it is you're doing. How do you ask for help? You go to whatever workbook lesson you're on and you take it seriously for a day. That'll do. Reason will tell you that there's no middle ground where you can pause uncertainly, waiting to choose between the joy of heaven and the misery of hell. Until you choose heaven, you are in hell and misery, period. Too harsh? Is that good news for anybody else? Anybody else want to tell me how they feel about that? Don?
Yeah. I certainly can't claim that I'm in heaven. But I did want to share an experience I had today. And you're telling me about putting in any workbook lesson motivates me to go ahead and share it.
Great.
So as you know, Andrew, from our class the other night, I'm in this, I'm doing a 1 week spirit camp with little kids. Mm-hmm. Yoga, it's yoga, you know. And it's kind of been a trial because my yoga, and it's a science based, or the minerals, the, you know, that make up everything. Kind of twists and turns with the course in my mind. But so I've been struggling with depression and I'm going through, you know, the motions of being there, hopefully for the kids. And today, it was hard. It was dark for me. And in the early afternoon, about midday, I just opened the book to a lesson. And it was,
that's great. I've been using it. I don't know why. Happens all the time, Don.
I would.
All of us.
It's like, I would.
I said this lesson 300 times today, and I can't remember what it is.
I would not look upon this. I trust my brother who is one with me. Mm. And so there's a couple of kids that apparently they create a fear in me, and then they're kind of a dislike or not approving of them, if you will. I guess it all comes down to hating if you go way deep. So I had just been reading this lesson, and this was happening and in my mind. And I said, I would not look upon this. I trust my brother who is one with me. And I had a shift. I shifted and my heart opened.
Wow.
Yeah. My heart opened. And it wasn't like some profound, I also had profound ideas or anything. My heart was open and I felt happy and I went happily about relating to everything that was going on. And that continued throughout the afternoon. And I guess I have to say, since I waffle back and forth in terms of how I feel, that I'm in that limbo, if you will. And it says you either believe it or you don't. I mean, you're either in heaven or you're in hell. So that, I'm not sure what to make of this. You know, I had the experience. I didn't make it up. I mean.
No. You described it beautifully. Jacqueline, can you tell us what happened? What do you think happened with Dawn?
Well, holy instant, the truth just comes in. And it does open the heart. I always feel quite a bit of, joy from those experiences. I would say, we talk about happiness, but it's that joy with the holy incense that I really treasure.
Yeah. It's the first time that I've been struggling, because every time that I've had this kind of shift experience, which I can think of basically three times particularly, it seems as if I have had to have the inspiration come to me, or for me to.
Right, because you called out that workbook sentence out of the workbook.
Yeah. Well, I did, but I mean, the point is, I initiated it. In other words, when I've tried to apply a teacher,
yes,
it's been ego.
Yeah,
and doesn't work. Uh-huh. This, I guess, I was really in a faithful spot. I mean, I really believed it.
Uh-huh.
I guess I really did believe it before I even said it. But I had no expectation. It was a real blessing. I mean, it really was amazing. So I just wanted to share that.
I know. I love that you're sharing that. I love that you shared it raw with your perfect descriptions. Jason, you want to weigh in? What happened with Don that he felt so free after at this particular time? Did you get any hit on that, Jason?
Paragraph over again. Sorry.
No. I just wanted you to. Yeah, I just wanted to see if you had some comment loaded. Luann, is something you want to say about Don's experience, where he's a good course student and he, keeps course thoughts in his mind, but this particular time, somehow he was freed and he actually got a lightness of being about him. Jacqueline says the guy had a holy instant. Okay. Jacqueline says he let the miracle be true. He used a forgiveness thought in the form of the workbook lesson of the day, and he released the stinking, and he had a holy instant, she says.
I was thinking something similar, and what I was thinking is his lesson was, you took your lesson in, Don, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't think we have to think through everything, but you looked at those kids and you said, do I really want to hold on to this inside of you? And the lesson said, no, you don't. You don't want to hold on to it. And I think that that was so true for you that it was a shift into love rather than into whatever else it was for you.
So there it is. You had your choice right there. The option to choose love was there. And he took it.
And you know what? Afterwards, I thought, wow, that's the first time that I that spoke was not the ego.
Here we go.
Like, wow, there really is an I that I, you know, that is connected.
Is an I that is connected.
Yeah, that's what I'm imagining, and that's what I hope, and that I can keep going to that spot. For me, you can't see it, but I'm touching my heart.
Yes.
Because my executive function, this thing is really contaminated.
Well, you've taken me back to where I started our discussion tonight, which is the heart. And your heart through most of your life was informed by the world, informed by the ego, informed by essentially fear. In order to find happiness, you just avoid fear. This has been your whole life.
Yeah.
But now, because you have allowed the Holy Spirit to come through you, a part of your mind still connected to the truth, to love, and has simply said, I trust my brothers who are one with me. And you join back with those little kids.
Yeah.
In this, and your heart now was informed not by the ego, but informed by the Holy Spirit instead of the unholy spirit. And yes, A Course in Miracles is giving voice to the part of your mind that's connected to love, Don. Yeah. And you heard it, and you repeated it, and that's why this sentence on page 442, this course we believe entirely, not at all, is a very welcome sentence to me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, wow, do it or don't do it, but you'll know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking of throttling some little 6-year-old,
I wasn't thinking of throttling him. It was a lower level kind of attack.
Oh, okay. I'm just checking.
but I will say this. You see, I have a steady egoic litany that it's like a downhill ski chute that's always there.
Yep.
That's out of my awareness. Mm-hmm. That's constantly in attack mode, or undermining mode, or negating mode, or judging, attacking, it'll stimulate quite a lot of pressure, and seeming like taffy pull in my skull, and so it can be a challenge to in a sense disown that. And be back here, because I tend to go intellect.
This darkness that you just described has a gravity of its own.
That's how I feel.
When you get close to it, it gets stronger. When you follow it, it gets really strong.
And it's going. All the time.
All the time. As long as you are holding the thought of Don Wagner, it will be present. It's part of the stew that you've come into an existence with. It is not you. It is not the only way to be. You admitted it tonight in front of all of us. There, you have discovered that there is an I that's not connected to Don Wagner. It's way smarter, way more loving, free. So this, my friend, is a spiritual awakening.
Amen.
You say it's happened 3 times? Good.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. It's very important. These things are very important. That's why we spent some time on that one.
Thank you.
The man actually had a holy instant. Put down his guard for a second and look what happened. Yeah. But, you know, Don, that's what in the end will make your life sweeter than you can imagine. Thank you.
Our goal, as far as I'm concerned, is to have that moment all the time where all we see is love.
Yeah. And then the world will be the perfect place because there's so much ugliness here.
And I think our job, Ben, is to figure out what it is that's holding us in this world and keeping us from opening our heart all the time. And that's called an undoing.
You bet. You bet. You're going to love it. It's a great journey. You know, before we're here, turn back to page 344. 344. And look at paragraph 16. Kenny, you want to try reading a short paragraph for us tonight?
Yeah.
Great.
344.
So 344, Kenny, when you get there, paragraph 16.
That's a good size.
Yeah, I think so. I'm feeling good.
The decision whether or not to listen is the course. Is this? No, let's try it again. The decision whether or not to listen to this course and follow it is not the choice between truth and illusion.
It's but. He's making it simple. But.
It is but the choice between truth and illusion. For there is truth separated from illusion and not confused with it at all. How simple does this decision become when it is perceived as only what it is?
Mm-hmm.
For only fantasies make confusion in choosing possible, and they are totally unreal. That's what he's thinking all the time. They're all unreal.
That's it, Kenny.
Yeah, and
that's it. You got it.
The teachers that we have, they had good intentions, but it just didn't come out the way they wanted it to.
But they were teaching fantasies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Jesus says they're all fantasies, nothing to worry about. He says that into for you to actually choose to see love everywhere, that's truth. Mm-hmm. But for you to have concerns and for you to be worried about details, this is fantasy. Jesus says, I'll wait until you want to actually follow up and be the teacher of God that I know is in you. I'll wait. This course will be believed either entirely or not at all. Don't you love the simplicity of that even a little bit?
And I have a question around that based on partly on my training and partly because I don't get it. it says in a number of places, I wrote it, I was reading about how to pray and back in the back. And it says, yeah, it's an inward journey. So when it also says you have to look inside to find out how you are like your brother that you're accusing your brother of. Does that make sense? In other words, if I think of somebody I'm judging, I can find a way to realize, okay, that's me too. And if I judge, I'm judging myself and that doesn't work for them and it doesn't work for me.
Yes, but you mixed your training in there with those words of how do you find out you're like your brother and why you're seeing that.
That's exactly my problem. I'm not sure what inward journey means in this book.
Right. The outward journey is figures, memories, things you can see, touch, feel, hear, smell.
Okay.
If what you're concerned about is your brother, who you could touch, smell, feel, remember, and so includes people who have died, this is an outward journey.
Wait. The inward is...
I haven't said inward yet.
Oh, all this is the outward journey. Okay.
All this is the outward journey. If you can smell it, touch it, even think, even think of it as a picture. It's an outward journey.
Okay.
Pretty harsh, okay? But here we go. That's why we're here.
Okay.
It's everything that's a thing. You ready for this one? Lesson number one.
Hold me in just a second.
Wouldn't that include, I don't, may I comment?
Yeah, sure.
Wouldn't that include, Luann, your training?
That's what I said. It's partly because of my training that I'm having this problem.
Well, good. I'm glad you're reconciling it. I'm glad you're reconciling it.
Yeah.
Remember Course in Miracles lesson number one. Anybody remember that one?
Yeah, it's everything I see is all the meaning I've given it.
That's number two.
What's well, number I like one? That one better.
What's number one? Albert, do you know lesson number one in A Course in Miracles?
I do. It means everything I see has no meaning at all.
It's pretty important at a time like this that we recognize that the first lesson in the workbook has so much power at this moment. It'll mean more to you now, perhaps, with what we're talking about. We're talking about what's outside and what's inside. Luann has brought up this big challenge of what does it mean to pray honestly? Course in Miracles is trying to teach that, but it's nothing like you've heard, I've heard in the world. It's nothing like I've heard in the world about prayer. And I went to catechism from a Catholic upbringing, catechism school and the whole bit with the Sister Mary and the whole bit. I got marks on the back of my hand from being struck with a ruler from these nuns.
Still?
Yeah. Well, they're gone now, but I'll never forget it, Don.
That's the outer world, Don.
None came up and whacked me with a ruler. I thought, where's God now? Where's I'm a kid? Not in my classroom.
Okay, inward is different.
So this is really important. We've come to being able to hear a higher level of lesson number one right now. That first lesson is nothing I see means anything. Whoa. I mean, you think, well, he's starting out with a little baby lesson because it's lesson number one. It must not mean much. It's a little confusing that he says that, but it's lesson one, so I don't have to really pay attention. No. He begins with the end. And if you don't get it, he's got 364 more. When you finish the workbook and you go back and you say, I wonder if I should do it again. You look at one number one, you should go, wow, yes, I'm going to do it again. It means so much more now. Nothing I see means anything. Do you see how?
I like the word experience. Nothing that this body experiences means anything. Because a dream, for instance.
Let me explain to you why see is important. Because he uses the word see versus vision.
Right.
If you use experience, you're going to start to confuse yourself.
Okay.
I mean, I appreciate what you're doing, but you're not taking full advantage of the course because the course offers a binary teaching on seeing versus vision.
Okay.
Vision is when you see something invisible. You can see beyond what your eyes can see. That must mean you're having a spiritual awareness. See how important that is? Nothing I see with my eyes means anything. Jesus is so confident with this because as the ultimate teacher of God, the first teacher of God, and your personal example of a teacher of God, he's saying whatever you see is in the world of fantasy and is designed to have differences and not to be of love. Not to look like love, not to share like love, not to cooperate like love. In fact, it's really meant to provoke anger, attack, judgment, and fear. Mixed in with some guilt. Welcome to the world. So that's why Jesus so confidently has lesson number one as well. How should I start the workbook? Let's start with this. Whatever you can see doesn't mean a thing. How about that? Confidently. Jacqueline, talk to me.
Well, I was just thinking about Jesus on the crucifixion. So for him, nothing he saw meant anything. And of course, as Luan is saying, we feel like we're experiencing maybe.
Jacqueline, why is your audio muffled? It sounds like it's, can you adjust your microphone or just move the coffee cup away from the microphone or something? I don't know what, but somehow you don't.
Oh, maybe my, is it better now?
Yes, it's much better now.
Okay, I had my book up.
Perfect.
I think my book is up. So, you know, it just came to my mind, well, nothing I see means anything, that I was just thinking of the story of Christ and the crucifixion. So for him, if that's, you know, that's something that happened, seemingly, nothing he saw meant anything. Nothing that was happening meant anything. It was nothing. So, and so he had he was transcending it at the time it was happening. So I was just imagining that.
Yeah.
And when I was, that was one thing in my little instant, was when I was experiencing something that came up from the past, and I, you know, could feel it so strongly, and I said, how can this be nothing? I was asking, and it just was, it is, it just is. So now I'm not able to apply that. I mean, I just have been in, had a real, I've had a lot of pain for quite a while now, for 10 days or so, and it's getting better, but it was hard for me, you know. It didn't feel like nothing to me.
Yep.
Totally. So it's not like I can do that all the time. Yeah.
It didn't feel like nothing to me. The woman in the little square on your screen said, because she's a woman, a human woman with pain sensors that are wired to a brain, which is connected to her mouth. That, of course, that feels uncomfortable from time to time. But there is a part of her that has awoken, that can come through, and it came through when it said, when she reported, she says, what is it? How come it doesn't mean anything? It just doesn't. And the answer was complete to her, even though it's very few words. You see, this is a spiritual awakening, and you follow that light. That's a little vein, a little vein of light has entered into your life. You must see those and follow them. They do not come with a lot of words. It doesn't come with a lot of stories, but it comes with certainty. And that's why I liked what Don said, because everybody here could report the certainty on Don's face when he said, I don't know, my heart lit up and I felt good. I just said these words and I let it go. That's what forgiveness is. The miracle has already occurred to Don, that he can be free. He just doesn't know how. And he gets caught behind the wave and is like, it's too late, right? The forgiveness is when you act to let go of your harmful thoughts. And then you get the holy instant, just like you reported. So that's why I love your story. It was beautiful. That's how it happens. And it keeps happening that way until you're free. Gently, as many times as you personally need. And at first it starts with need, and then it goes to want. Because your heart will grow. As you become more free, your heart grows, and you start to want to make sure everybody else is free. And there's a whole new trap there, but nonetheless, it's not a bad one. Mother Teresa got maybe caught in that a lot. But it's beautiful.
Andrew, that particular treatment, if you will, that's what they kind of refer to it in Christian Science. You know, it's a treatment.
Oh.
You know, I studied that for a while one time. Mm-hmm. But now, even as you were talking, I was having these pressure going on in my head that's uncomfortable. And there's a sadness that accompanies it, and I'm thinking, well, what can I apply to that? You know, what workbook lesson or what, you know?
I want you to look at Jacqueline's square on your screen.
Yes,
that human who is very much like you, in that she has lived a life in a body, and she feels things. right now for the last 10 days, she's had some pain that she's been feeling. Do you require you, Dawn, that she feel that pain?
No, I don't.
No. So do you require that Dawn, you feel and live and suffer from the pain in your head right now?
No, I don't.
No, no, you don't. And that's what I mean by following the vein of choice. Mm-hmm. And just in those thoughts, a little light of heaven is offered you to follow. Your body will see, the pain gets worse when you think about it.
Yeah.
And it will cycle and circle and, you know, does what it does. The body will answer with more hormones and stuff. Even the body will quiet down. But most importantly is you start to associate your mind with freedom. And then you will find the Christ mind waiting for you during times of trouble. And the more you practice turning your identity over to the part that would have nothing to do with the pain. Yeah. It grows. Dawn, it just grows like a muscle.
Okay.
So good. And I think you can look at Jacqueline and say, I would like to give Jacqueline complete freedom from her pain. That she can make
give you complete freedom from your pain.
Yeah. If she could just step out of it with in her mind. Albert, what do you got?
I was thinking of, I haven't thought of it this way before, but visioning is when you have, you know, I don't like the word dreaming because that's not quite accurate, but when you believe that you're human, you have senses, the five senses. Visioning is when you when you realize that you're really spiritual and not a human being. So you're seeing things is completely different.
You know, amen.
You're not seeing them as physically real anymore.
Amen.
That's what you're seeing is, if I can use the word truth, I'm not sure, but it's more true than what you're seeing as a human being.
Amen. It's more true than what you're seeing with human being. It's still like a perception. And we know perceptions require duality. Yeah. But it's what's called in Course in Miracles, a right perception. Whereas what you would see with your body is a wrong perception because it makes the material real. But when you make the material false, you're having a right perception, which leads you away from your addiction and toward the light. Absolutely, Albert. I love the way you hesitated with your words there. It shows me that you're really feeling how this is a shift in perception away from the solid material laws of physics and time and space. Yes. Good. Beautiful. Well said. Really good. Very, really good to hear. Jason, you have something to say? Okay. All right. Boy, how much time we have? Okay. Well, let's get to our reading. Yeah. Let's get to page 3 in the Manual for Teachers. I think we have just enough time it's only 4 paragraphs, so I don't see any reason we can't get this down. We've really discussed the essence of it, so I think we should be able to do this. So I don't interrupt too much. Okay, Dawn, when you get there, would you read for us paragraph 1?
What's the page?
Page 3 of the Manual for Teachers, which is after the workbook, then the Manual for Teachers starts.
Oh. Okay, page 3.
Yeah.
Paragraph 1.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me. Who are God's teachers? A teacher of God is anyone who chooses to be one. His qualifications consist solely in this. Somehow, somewhere, he has made a deliberate choice in which he did not see his interests as apart from someone else's. Once he has done that, his road is established and his direction is sure. A light has entered the darkness. It may be a single light, but that is enough.
It may be a single light, but that's enough. When you're in the darkness, you know how many times I've talked about that? The big dark room, the warehouse, and there's a single candle. Wow, does that make a difference? Please continue.
He has entered an agreement with God, even if he does not yet believe in him. He has become a bringer of salvation. He has become a teacher of God.
I think that includes everybody here. Everybody here has found a little glimmer of hope from something beyond. Is that fair? I know it is. I know all of you well enough. I know that you've had a glimpse that there's something beyond and I'm going for it. Good. Jacqueline, give us paragraph two.
Okay. They come from all over the world. They come from all religions and from no religion. They are the ones who have answered. The call is universal. It goes on all the time, everywhere. It calls for teachers to speak for it and redeem the world. Many hear it, but few will answer. Yet it is all a matter of time. Everyone will answer in the end, but the end can be a long, long way off. It is because of this that the plan of the teachers was established. Their function is to save time. Each one begins as a single life, but with the call at its center, it is a life that cannot be limited. And each one saves 1,000 years of time as the world judges it. To the call itself, time has no meaning.
So, Albert, obviously, we're not talking about, as you were hinting, the linear nature of the body-mind and the ego-mind saving 1,000 years. We're really having a spiritual discussion. So you're right on target. In fact, Albert, would you read for us the next paragraph? You're good to go.
There is a course for every teacher of God. The form of the course varies greatly. So do the particular teaching aids involved. But the content of the course never changes.
Remember I was telling you last week how very, very personal this is. And this week as well, how very personal A Course in Miracles is. It's a course for everyone who seeks. Please continue.
Its central theme is always God's Son is guiltless, and in his innocence is his salvation. It can be taught by actions or thoughts, in words or soundlessly, in any language or in no language, in any place, time, or manner. It does not matter who the teacher was before he heard the call. He has become a savior by his answering. He has seen someone else as himself. I want to read that sentence again. I like that sentence. Mm-hmm. He has seen someone else as himself. He has therefore found his own salvation and the salvation of the world. And his rebirth is the world reborn.
Those three sentences, Albert, beginning with, well, four sentences, beginning with number eight, he has become a savior by his answering. You're answering this call to engage your mind in what I call the circle. And the circle is as you give, you receive. You see, because if you are actually of spirit, of God, then as you give in truth, you receive in truth. As you give in falsity, you receive in falsity. So no matter what, as you give, you receive. That's how simple this becomes. So now if the Holy Spirit is inviting you to become aware of things that are beyond what your eyeballs can see, and you answer that call like you told us you did. As you do that, number eight he has become a savior by his answering. So, Albert, you have become a savior, and your only job is to save yourself. Many may follow you. Many may be affected by your choices, but there's only one actual job that you have as you know yourself, and that is to choose the atonement for yourself, and you're doing it. He has become a savior by his answering. And then Jesus says the same thing over again. He has seen someone else as himself. Now, to the ego, that doesn't actually make sense. But to spirit, it says, of course. Good thing to ponder on. Good thing to ponder on. It's certainly not talking about your eyeballs. Not talking about your eyeballs. Then Jesus says it again. He has therefore found his own salvation and the salvation of the world. You see, because the world is what you see. The world is the manifestation of your thought that you thought was separate from you. And now you know there's a way it's all connected. It takes a miracle, but that's exactly what you're doing. And then he says the same thing again. It's the exact same thing, but it's said again at a yet another level with different words. He says, in his rebirth is the world reborn. Beautifully said. Beautiful teaching in those four sentences. And beautiful call out for your mind to follow. And you have your awakening right here. And this is, these words of truth illustrate this circle that your very mind contains the thoughts that free you, not any place else. No, it has to be that way because it's your very mind that built a box that you got in and closed your own door that you made behind you. You see? Okay. Anyway, thank you, Albert. Good reading, good pause on those very important sentences. If anybody has any questions on those, please speak up because we won't see this again for years. Okay. Kenny, I got your mute. What do you got?
I'm trying to figure. So the teacher is somebody else that I encounter. And I say, I want this to be a good outcome, even though we're putting screws in wood and making mistakes and all of it. We want to have the outcome between us.
Outcome.
The outcome between us.
Yep.
Even though we did things.
That's right. And we don't know what's going to happen next. So the teacher appears to be someone else.
Yeah.
The teacher is actually this vision of someone else. It's actually in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And your body's out here doing things, but you're letting your body go and do what it does, drive the screws and get the boards and everything else. But the importance is reaching for your heart through vision and going beyond what the appearances are. And so the outcome is already known.
Yeah.
Before the project is complete. Even if this person makes huge mistakes and costs you the entire budget. But if the outcome, if you set the goal to be holy rather than unholy from the beginning, then it's complete. You can't miss. We're going beyond the physical, beyond the visible. Very good. That's right. You got it. You got it, Kenny. Okay. Luann, did you read yet?
No.
Okay, Luann, would you read for us paragraph 4?
This is a manual for a special curriculum intended for teachers of a special form of the universal course. There are many thousands of other forms, all with the same outcome. They merely save time. Yet it is time alone that winds. It is time alone that wins on wheel that winds.
Yeah, you got it right.
Goes on forever.
Yeah,
the world is very tired now. It is old and worn and without hope. There was never a question of outcome for what can change the will of God, but time, with its illusions of change and death, wears out the world and all things in it. Yet time has an ending, and it is this that the teachers of God are appointed to bring about. For time is in their hands. Such was their choice, and it is given them.
How did that feel, Luann?
Let me think how that feels.
You know, while you're thinking about it, Jason, would you read the same paragraph over? I got your mute. Read that to Luann, will you? Paragraph 4, and she can just listen in.
This is a manual for special curriculum. Let me start. This is a manual for a special curriculum intended for teachers of a special form of the universal course. There are many thousands of other forms, all with the same outcome. They merely save time. Yet it is time alone that winds on wearily, and the world is very tired now. It is old and worn and without hope. There was never a question of outcome for what can change the will of God. But time, with its illusions of change and death, wears out the world and all things in it. Yet time has an ending, and it is this that the teachers of God are appointed to bring about. For time is in their hands. Such was their choice, and it is given them.
How's that feel, Luann?
It feels really good and really heavy. So let me see if I can figure out what the heavy is about.
The job description.
It feels like it's absolutely perfect. And it feels like becoming inspiring perfection in myself and others is really not very easy.
And not required.
And not required?
Because perfection here in other people, as you can see them, is impossible because time is going to wind them on wearily back to the dust from which they came.
But I wasn't really thinking of people in terms of bodies.
I just want to make sure you weren't then. Turn to page 443, and we'll close the meeting with this. It's time to read this paragraph. I'm surprised we don't read it more often, but you know, we're in a mood tonight because what we're learning. 443. So this is another place where Jesus calls out the ego for what it is. And he says, you know, if you just took a moment to look at what you're doing with your mind, you'd recognize it was body-mind and not spirit-mind, not infinity, not eternity, but limit, smallness, no place that the Son of God could actually exist. Jacqueline, I got your mute. Would you carefully read for us paragraph 7 and 8.
Okay, on 443.
Yes.
Judgment is but a toy, a whim, the senseless means to play the idle game of death in your imagination. The vision sets all things right, bringing them gently within the kindly sway heaven's laws. What if you recognize this world is an hallucination? What if you really understood you made it up? What if you realize that those who seem to walk about in it, to sin and die, attack and murder and destroy themselves, are wholly unreal? Could you have faith in what you see if you accepted this? And would you see it? Hallucinations disappear when they are recognized for what they are. This is the healing and the remedy. Believe them not, and they are gone. And all you need to do is recognize that you did this. Once you accept this simple fact and take unto yourself the power you gave them, you are released from them. One thing is sure. Hallucinations serve a purpose, and when that purpose is no longer held, they disappear. Therefore, the question never is whether you want them, but always, do you want the purpose that they serve? The world seems to hold out many purposes, each different and with different values, yet they are all the same. Again, there is no order, only a seeming hierarchy of values.
There it is. Part of your mind is awake. Part of your mind has completed the journey through time. We call that part Jesus as a handle. And that part of your mind left behind notes for you. This fractionated part of mind that thinks it exists separately, have yet to allow this healing, to allow this closure back to oneness. You're playing still. But the script is written, and the illusion does not go anywhere. The world is weary. The world runs on time and space, and these laws of time and space, which were made up, and it was fantastic, really. However, they're very wearing and dissolving, and you know it. But you've been so fascinated with it, you.
That's why it feels heavy.
That's why it feels heavy, because you're recognizing that this is hopeless. The small L love here is hopeless. Now, the good news is even as you finish up your journey here in a body, in time and space, any loving, true loving thought that you have, that as you wake up, like Dawn was talking about a wake up with A Course in Miracles with those kids, and love kind of came back to his heart. These are beautiful, beautiful instances, and they are the recalling of love into your mind. You actually move, your mind moves back to a capital letter for a moment, and it's beautiful. All those instances are kept for you in eternity because they're loving. So not all a waste, but anything that isn't will be just forgotten as nothing, like bad math. Just like bad math. Oh, forget that. Not another thought. You're waking up, you teachers of God. What if you sentence 3, paragraph 7, what if you recognize this world is an hallucination? Says Jesus. What if you really understood that you made it up? Says Jesus to you. There's your meditation for tonight. Take that thought with you into sleep tonight and see. Let your Holy Spirit run with that. What would it be like for you to recognize that this whole world is actually an hallucination happening in your free mind? Whoa.
Oh, so that, I feel like a beginner. When you say that, the whole world is a hallucination, and Timothy goes on and on about this universe.
Yeah.
I wonder, are you talking about the universe as hallucination or just how we think about it as an hallucination?
Everything material as having its own existence.
Okay.
Is that idea, that thought, is an hallucination. It doesn't mean that it has to go away. An illusion or an hallucination is not that it isn't real. It is that it is not as it appears to be. Do you see? That's you wake up to an illusion and you recognize that It's not as it appears to be.
It's not a separate entity.
It's not a separate entity. It's still connected to the same mind.
Wait a minute. Lesson number one is so important.
Whoa, that's why number one is so important. And when you allow that, even though you don't, you can't connect all the dots, but you allow that to be true, you say, well, of course that's true. There's only one power. There's only one mind. And yet it appears to be many. And the more you get into science, and the more I got into, I got pretty heavy into science and postgraduate stuff. And the more I learned, the more I saw, the more I saw the same. Starting out, there are all sorts of differences to investigate. But the more I learned, the more I learned is the same. And I've learned it with Course in Miracles is showing me the exact same thing. And I thought, wow, no wonder Einstein had this. If you're not in awe and believe there's something akin to God, then you're not paying attention. Because he really looked hard. More than I could ever look.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Thank you, Don. Thank you for sharing with us.
You're welcome.
Your growth and awareness of the truth.
Thank you.
It becomes stronger as you rehearse it and allow it to be true. Then this is how the light has come to you.
Can I just make a story?
Yeah.
So I have been upset with my daughter-in-law because she is very protective and with a circle around herself and her kids. And she allows my son in and she allows her original family in, but I've never been allowed in. So I was thinking, okay, I would like to feel at one with her. What do I need to do? And I went through and thought, you know what? I'm pretty much the same way about my family. I'm upset because she took my son and my grandchildren. And so then I thought to myself, okay, so I want to feel like we're at one about that, but that didn't feel right because at one with that same problem. That problem is an illusion. So where do I go? What's my next thing after that?
Give your son to her. Because she wants love and she wants wholeness and safety. It's not personal. Nothing about you.
No, I don't think it's about me. I just couldn't figure out why she was doing it.
You know why.
Yeah, because she wants the love that her family can give her.
And that her previous family probably couldn't possibly. The one she was born into.
Yeah, because she was top in every single class she ever, every single degree she ever had.
Mm-hmm.
She took top honors from valedictorian all the way up to summa.
Now she wants perfect
love.
Perfect love.
Yeah.
Not some older, wiser woman coming and saying how things should be done.
Yeah, no.
That's not going to work.
I got that long time ago. I think we resent the fact that I was babysitting constantly. In fact, traveling to Sacramento and Dublin to do it. And I wasn't allowed to take care of the kids the way I wanted without being put down.
Yep.
You know, it's not like I didn't raise my own family okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah. But this is your son's family and she is wearing the pants.
Right, and I can give it. I think I can do that, but I'm not sure how that's going to help me feel like I'm at one with her. And that's what I really want to do.
You're the one that you are giving to her came from you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge gift. This is a beautiful, huge gift.
Okay. Okay.
You must come to peace. You know, Anthony DeMello said, enlightenment is when you trust the inevitable.
Okay.
How peaceful is that?
That's kind of like what this page on 443 is. There's an inevitable.
Very good, Luann. Very good, Luann. Inevitability. How simple is that? Sometimes old people, they end up with this, different people over many years end up with this short little phrase. The older you get, you start to hear people say, well, it is what it is. Right? Isn't there some kind of wisdom in that? All right, everybody, have a good night. Okay. Thank you for a great session. Thank you for everybody giving what you gave. That was really great teaching for all of us. Let's do it again.